Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that explored a possible clinical prediction rule for meniscal tears. Clinical prediction rules such as the Ottawa Ankle Rules improve clinical care and reduce healthcare costs from unnecessary diagnostic imaging. Knee meniscal clinical tests may be coupled together to yield similar results, however the accuracy of combining meniscal special tests remains unclear. Therefore, the authors investigated the accuracy of joint line tenderness and the McMurray's test in diagnosing meniscal tears. Three physicians with varying years of experience independently evaluated 60 patients needing knee arthroscopy. Separately, the two tests did not have great sensitivity or specificity. In other words, joint line tenderness lacked value in diagnosing meniscal lesions, and McMurray's was only relatively efficient at determining when a patient did not have a meniscal lesion. Interestingly, years of experience improved the accuracy of the McMurray's tests. Furthermore, combining the two clinical tests did not improve the accuracy of meniscal tear diagnosis beyond what the McMurray's test could do alone. A set of clinical prediction rules has yet to be established for the knee. However, the results of this study are still interesting. Meniscal tear diagnosis is relatively accurate when using the McMurray's test, and combining the use of joint line tenderness did not help improve the diagnosis of a meniscal tear. However, years of experience affected the overall McMurray's diagnostic accuracy. This demonstrates the importance of practicing and clinical experience. It would be interesting to see if the combination of joint line tenderness and McMurray's helped improve diagnosis in a novice or less experienced clinician. Also, the authors used the arthroscopy as a gold standard for meniscal lesion diagnosis. It would be interesting to see how these tests and others in combination compare to magnetic resonance imaging results as well. In some cases, clinical examination may be as good as MRI. While combining these two tests does not seem to improve the accuracy and prediction of pathology, there may still be a battery of tests that would. This past week, we also had two other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post reported that soccer heading was associated with abnormal white matter microstructure and poor neurocognitive performance, despite the fact that a history of concussion was not associated with altered brain structure. And the second post noted that gender and employment setting in athletic training affects perceptions of life-work balance and parenting. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study that found psychological response before surgery and during early recovery were associated with returning to pre-injury level sports participation at 12 months. The authors noted that this suggests that we need to pay attention to psychological recovery in addition to physical recovery after an ACL injury. We also shared a summary of data presented at this year's American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine's annual meeting that suggested athletes with a history of ACL reconstructions were 6 times more likely to have an ACL injury within 24 months of surgery than those who never tore their ACL at all. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.